You're listening to NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Thanks for making us a part of your Sports Sunday. This is Speaking of Sports on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. I'm Jim Daniels, your host. And we do this every Sunday morning where we like to kind of shove the box score aside just a little bit and take a look at some of these scores and individuals that are making news throughout the sports world without so many of the numbers, not entirely void of numbers. We'll share some of those with you, but more about the stories and some of the folks also on the program this morning. Nota Begay, because we're playing some golf down in the Bahamas. The Hero World Challenge is going on with a fabulous field of players. That'll wrap up today. And we also, Pete Fox and I are going to get into a couple of things, as we always do. But first, let me start with this. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today and start earning instantly. Earn $5 for every $150 you spend. It's fast, easy, and free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. See store for further details. All right, start with this in college football because you're going to have plenty of time to chew on this. After the championship Saturday and all of the dust settles, here's what you're looking at. Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Michigan State really are the only four teams that should be in the college Final Four playoff. Now, a lot of people, especially Ohio State fans, saying, wait a minute, what about us? You know, as Pete Fox and I discussed not long ago, you lost to the wrong team. You know, you could probably get away with this one loss if it had been somebody else, but because it was Michigan State and that's who you need to bump out of there, it's not going to go well for the Buckeyes, and this is what you're looking at. Your finals kind of went down like this. The Big Ten championship was Michigan State beating Iowa 16-13, knocking out one of the undefeateds. North Carolina had an opportunity to take out the other undefeated. That's Clemson, number one Clemson. They couldn't get it done, but, boy, what a barn burner. And I tell you what, they put up some points in the second half of this one. 45-37 was your final in the ACC championship game with Clemson moving on. They're undefeated. They're number one. They're in. SEC championship game, Florida at number two, Alabama. You heard Nick Saban here just a moment ago talking about, well, I know how we feel and how most people feel about whether we should be in there. Their defense should get them in all alone, but they play some pretty good offense while they're at it. 29-15, Alabama wins the SEC championship game. So it's pretty well set, and now let the debates and the arguing begin between now and bowl season and New Year's and all of that as to whether or not we got it right and whether or not the system works, the new college football championship system that features Final Four teams, which is kind of similar to what we're doing. I think a lot of people would like to see us do more of a March Madness kind of thing with football. Problem is you just can't play that many games. Now, moving to the NBA this morning, the news, and again, this is not so much about the numbers, although the numbers that Steph Curry is putting up has everything to do with the story, and the story is the Warriors 21 in a row, 22 coming up later on today, very likely at the Barclays Center against the Nets. But Steph Curry, once again, 44 points last night. This is the seventh time this season Steph Curry has scored at least 40 points in a game. They've only played 21 games. 7 out of 21? Yeah, that's going to get it done. Whew. 21 in a row, looking for 22. He's getting all the help that he needs from Draymond Green, from Klay Thompson. Everything that they need is going right. And in a game where they actually could have stumbled and lost this with 3 seconds left on the clock, Corey Joseph committed a turnover. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Joel Cordes not long ago from Bleacher Report, and I thought that he dribbled it off his foot. I wasn't watching the game, only saw the replay clip, but Joel said he thought that Steph Curry got in there and poked that away, even playing on defense. And, you know, listen, they've got the record, the 33-game record, you know, in sight, and it's in their minds, and they're thinking about it. You're close enough now at 21, maybe 22 later on today, to where it's really getting close. Look, they're not going to go 82-0. Sooner or later, it's going to happen, and they almost had that letdown last night. Very close game, but they pull it out, 112-109, and so we're just on winning streak watch when it comes to the Golden State Warriors. Now, a couple of other news or stories of note coming out of the NBA. Kobe Bryant, I think it's funny, a couple of things about Kobe. Number one, how he wound up telling his head coach, Byron Scott, that he was not, that this was it for him. He was all done this year. It was in a game earlier in the week where Byron said, hey, I need to take you out. What about your minutes? And Kobe just kind of ran back the other way on defense saying, doesn't matter, I'm not playing next year anyway. He said it stopped Byron dead in his tracks. Like, what? That's how you tell me that you're not going to play, that you're going to retire? Apparently, that's what he said. And so the Philadelphia 76ers, who put on a beautiful pregame ceremony honoring their hometown guy, Kobe Bryant, you had Dr. J come out. You had his coach from Lower Merion High School come out, retired his jersey. That may be the only or one of the few pregame ceremonies that you're going to see for Kobe Bryant, because he has requested to have no more on-court ceremonies or gift presentations from opposing NBA teams. Doesn't want to detract from the game, doesn't want to be that guy. We see it a lot. Derek Jeter sure got it a lot as he was saying his goodbyes as he went around the country. But Kobe telling people, look, you know what, let's keep it to a little video thing if that's what he wanted to do. He's also telling people that it's okay if you want to try and set up some private things that you'd like to do afterwards, that's fine, but you just want to hold up the game and make the spectacle more than the game of itself. And I kind of get that, too. You know, the team's not very good. You know, he's at the end of his rope. He's not scoring, playing all that well, and you don't want to go out there and have this big fuss be the bigger thing than happened than, you know, a poor performance in the game. So that's what Kobe's wishes are as far as the pregame ceremonies. May not see too many of those. Joel Embiid, listen, this guy has yet to step on the NBA court and actually play. He's had a couple of foot surgeries, and we're hoping that he doesn't follow in the, pardon the bad pun here, but footsteps of some other NBA guys, big men that have had foot problems and not being able to get on the floor. But when they measured this guy, when they first drafted him at the 2013 Hoop Summit, he measured 7 feet tall. Well, apparently he's not done growing. Because they decided, you know, you're looking a little taller these days. Why don't we just go ahead and run the tape measure on you? He's 7'2". They drafted him 2 years ago, and he's grown 2 inches. Are you kidding me? He's in the NBA, and he's still growing. I guess it happened to Kevin Durant. I guess he did a little bit of that, too, once he got in. I suppose because they come in so young now. Look, another reason why you need to stay in school. You're not done growing. This news from the NFL, they announced a couple of days ago what they're going to do for the big Super Bowl 50 halftime show. And after last year, the great big Katy Perry, Dancing Sharks extravaganza that they had, what have they come up for Super Bowl 50? Coldplay. Coldplay. You're probably familiar with Coldplay. You probably heard the name before. You don't have to be a fan of the music or know the titles of any of their songs. As a matter of fact, we messed around with this a little bit yesterday morning trying to see if we knew anything about Coldplay songs or titles, and we didn't. Hey, we're sports guys. You know, give me the Metallica, right? not a whole lot of Coldplay knowledge going on there, but let me say this. Coldplay is in the studio, has been in the studio with Beyonce and Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars was on a couple of years ago. They love Bruno Mars. He's a big hit in the pop world. And they apparently have done a song with Coldplay, so we figured that those two are probably going to come. I also said this yesterday. I believe Coldplay to kind of be that plain yogurt that you want to just kind of lay out there on the field, and that way you can throw any spicy artist you want in there, sweet or savory, whatever you like, on top, and let Coldplay kind of play the music in the background without being too offensive. Because at the bottom, you know, that's what we're looking at here, is the NFL trying to be super safe. All right, who can we put on? We want to make sure that no one offends anybody. Yeah, you accomplished that goal. If you got a non-offensive group, Coldplay is going to get that done for you. Guarantee you won't have any wardrobe malfunctions or lyric problems out of Coldplay. Probably won't be all that entertaining either, but hey, you don't got to worry if you're the NFL or you're the network worrying about a gigantic fine like Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake were able to get for. I believe it was Fox that had that got the great big fine down in Houston when they had the wardrobe malfunction. All right, plenty of stuff on the program for you today, not the least of which is the Professor Rick Horro. He joins us live next as we talk the business of sports. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio's mobile app. Ooh, we love game day, especially around here, NBC Sports Radio, NBCSportsRadio.com. Got you covered. Jim Daniels here with Speaking of Sports, and we'll get to the professor here in just a second. First, let's get powered up. The Home Depot has great gifts for every doer on your list, and just in time for the holidays, the Home Depot is lowering the cost of tools that everybody wants and needs. They've got top brands and tools. They've got Ryobi, Husky, Ridgid, DeWalt. You're going to find the perfect tool that's sure to be the highlight of someone's holiday season. Visit HomeDepot.com/tool for more details. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. I was saying earlier, I've had a one of those DeWalt screw guns for about 10 years. Those things just keep on going. All right, let's get into the business of sports, the deal making and marketing and stadiums and fun stuff like that. For that, we bring in the professor, Rick Horro. He's also an author. He's also one of those Harvard-educated guys, so I have to watch my step all the time. But let's test his knowledge of Coldplay. Name a Coldplay song, smart guy.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of them I can sing, but I'm not going to name. My first comment was going to be, do they still allow you to keep those sharp objects that you would get at Home Depot?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Kind of scary, but yeah, they do. Sometimes I run with them.
I can't wait. Just don't fall forward. I can't wait until we watch Coldplay on February 5th or 6th at Levi's Stadium. That's going to be fun.
Well, again, like I'm fond of saying that they're going to be like the plain yogurt spread that's going to go on the halftime show, and I think you're going to see all kinds of different artists peppered in there. This is the 50th Super Bowl, and you're not telling me you're rolling Coldplay out as your entertainment. Come on. You can do better than that.
Well, you know,
and they will.
Their best stuff is slow stuff, so we'll see some interesting add-ons to that. They usually announce the marquee act, as you just said, that, as you said, sprinkle it around the vanilla, assume that you're going to see some chocolate sprinkles as well. The 50th celebration, by the way, we'll get into that as we get closer to it, is a two-week-long festivity of what the NFL is and could have been. And there's some interesting comparisons about ticket prices. You know, that first game was televised by two networks simultaneously, and the ads were about $40,000.
Right.
And now they're $5 million a 30-second spot. So,
$5 million.
You know, we'll talk about it. $5 million. Yeah, they're going to sell them at $5 million in NFL International. You know, there's a soon, just watch it. There's going to be an activation plan for Germany that I know is coming down the road, and the English commitments, and potentially Brazil. It may be a game or two in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a global league, and, you know, what better way to do it than celebrate a Super Bowl 50?
Rick, let's talk about the international NFL game for just a second, because the league has really made a big effort to grow the game over in London. Apparently it's working, because they've seen a 75% increase in fandom in just a couple of years over there. Whatever they're doing, even though they're sending the Jacksonville Jaguars a lot, it's still working, isn't it?
Well, because the English, you know, God love them, think the Jaguars are a Super Bowl contender. I mean, nobody's going to tell them otherwise, I guess.
We're not.
So, no, nobody is. 16% of the UK sports enthusiasts generally now follow the NFL, this Netfluential company, which does this stuff, compares to 9% in 2011. And so that is a 75% increase, and 65% year-over-year increase in minutes spent consuming NFL content. Now, as I said, we have three games next year, at least, including at Twickenham, which is the home of English rugby. They're talking about the expansion beyond England to Europe. So start looking at the beginning of the year for a plan involving Germany. I know that's being created. Mm-hmm. Start looking, as I said, for Brazil to take an active role around the Olympics, and start looking for some regular season games in Mexico. And again, you know, notice how the NBA is now looking at regular season games in Mexico, and the NHL is looking to go back to Scandinavia for regular season games. So it's a race for globalization, and the NFL is doing a great job of it.
When the game is on the line, we turn to Rick Horro. Did you see what I did there? That was pretty good.
That was really I'm going to make sure you don't get any sharp objects. I want to keep you around.
Talking the business of sports, I'm staying with the NFL and the United Kingdom, because quickly I want to talk about the fact that, yeah, they do think that Jacksonville is a Super Bowl contender, but they may change their opinion a little bit. We've got some pretty good games. The Colts and the Jaguars is one. The Redskins and the Bengals is another. And I guess the Rams are going to be part of the third game, which they've not entirely figured out yet. Is that right?
Well, yeah, because they haven't entirely figured out where the Rams are going to be. I mean, so that's a good segue. You know, the first week in January, last week in December, there's going to be some significant conversation about the three deals of the existing kind of incumbents, Oakland, San Diego, and St. Louis, mm-hmm. how their stadium plans look, who gets to move, where they get to move, when they get to move, and what the combinations are. And we talk about it every week, because it always changes, but yet the real decisions happen in the next couple of months.
Rick, let's talk about merchandising for just a second. This is an interesting story from the Horro Sports Brief this morning, where fans looking to go out and support their new quarterback in the Mile High City, Brock Osweiler, were a little bit disappointed because they weren't able to get their hands on the goods. Why is that?
Well, because nobody expected him to play as well as he has. And the number 17 jersey, you can't just take it off the shelf. You got to print it. And so there were a lot of demands, especially around Black Friday week. The Denver based retailer Sports Fan said its store would not stock the Osweiler jerseys until he's officially named the permanent starting quarterback, which, you know, may be years from now. So that's their loss. But the bottom line is merchandising is all about doing inventory. You know, what they do is they take the Super Bowl champion jerseys of the losing team, because, you know, they print both sides of it.
Sure.
And they have a program to send it to needy countries and distribute those to the kids, because that's worth more than the real stuff, like the upside down airplane postage stamp, which you and I may remember. But the bottom line is people love mistakes, and this mistake is not getting it on shelves quickly. So maybe for the good of retail, we need to see Peyton Manning come back quickly.
So somewhere out there, there are like San Diego Charger World, Super Bowl World Champion T-shirts floating around in Rwanda or someplace like that?
And you have the Buffalo Bills ones, which didn't have to bother reprinting because you could use them for four years in a row.
Over and over and over again. Yeah. Rick Oro is our guest. Let's talk NBA now, because they did something unique down in Miami, and I see this spreading across the country quickly, and this is about merchandising also. They've come up with these area code T-shirts, and in Miami, it's the 305. For the most part, it's the 305, but they're also starting to do some other ones, I guess some 768s. I've seen some 310s for the Lakers out here in Los Angeles. I think this is a great idea, and this is probably going to really catch fire, but they've kind of run into not a problem, but maybe a little confusion in Miami?
Well, you know, I live down here, and they did something that they do in many ways, and I was part of it for years, which is screwing up. But in the bottom line of it is that they're trying to sell another set of merchandise, and the area codes are great because everybody remembers them or knows them. The 305 area code was the primary one in Miami, 786 is secondary. People in the stores didn't know about 305, maybe because they're too young, and so they'll change it around. You're right, though. It's a small little mistake in a big deal because they want to generate as much revenue as they can. So you'll see a lot of 212s for New York, your 213s and 310s for L.A., and, you know, you test your case. What's the area code of Iowa now that nobody knows because everybody's pulled their phones out of their socket after last night?
They have. I saw what you did there. That's actually really good stuff. I like it. I want to go to NASCAR, touch on this just a second, because Jeff Gordon, his retirement is sending a great big ripple through the endorsement world, because 3M, who has been a sponsor of his and Hendrick Motorsports for a long time, looks like maybe they're going to pull back a little bit. Are they going to pull back until they find another superstar to back?
Well, they're going to set 5 races for new driver Chase Elliott, but down from 11 just like last year. And 3M did say that they want to reassess their sponsorship when a driver retires. They get every right to do that. 3M switched from Hendrick in 2015 after a decade-long relationship with Roush Fenway. And so even a blue-chip company like 3M, every dollar counts, and flexibility is major. This, by the way, is a key day this weekend for NASCAR. They're in Vegas. They celebrate the season. They have their banquets, their meetings, their industry stuff. And so this is when they start retooling and planning for next year after an incredibly successful season.
Yeah, indeed it was. And an incredibly successful year, apparently, for Nike president and CEO Mark Parker. He's been named Fortune Magazine's Business Person of the Year. That's obviously a very prestigious honor. You know, why is it him? Is it, you think this is the overall success of the company, or how he has just continued Phil Knight's vision?
Well, you don't screw up Phil Knight's vision, which is an easy one to deal with, but then you expand into China and Europe, and you do different things with different people. You appeal to the young generation. The Nike women's program is bigger than others. What it means to the industry is, as he gets more accolades, spends more money, Adidas has to spend more money to keep up. Kevin Plank sitting there and saying, hey, wait a minute, what about me? And so all of the big companies are trying to leverage each other.
Rick, thanks for being with us.
Fans, everybody
I'm sorry, dude, I got to cut you off. Thanks for being with us on NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to NBC Sports Radio Weekends. This is Speaking of Sports
with Jim Daniels
on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
And now,
it's Jim Daniels.
Glad that you're with us this morning. It's Speaking of Sports. I'm your host, Jim Daniels. We do this every Sunday morning, where I say we kick aside the box score a little bit and take a look at some of the issues that are going on in the sports world. And we've got something interesting going on in the golf world, because it's the Hero World Challenge, which is down in the Bahamas. You've got a unique elite group of players that are competing down there. I mean, you know, look, we got some kind of little golf tidbits to keep us busy throughout the rest of the year until we actually get to January, when we get to go over to Hawaii and start the season over there. Although the season for a lot of players doesn't start until the East Coast swing, because it's just, you know, especially some of the European players, get out there all the way to Hawaii is a bit too much for them. Looking at the scores, again, I'm not going to go too much in the scores, but it's more about the people that are involved. At 19 under, Bubba Watson is your leader. Paul Casey behind him at 17 under. Then there's Chris Kirk, Patrick Reed, Bill Haas, Jordan Spieth, all of them at 15 under par. Excuse me if I'm reading that correctly. Ricky Fowler, Zach Johnson, Adam Scott at 13 under. So it's a star-studded field, if you will. And to help us learn more about that event and what's going on, Nota Begay joins us now from Golf Channel. Exciting to be down part of this event in the Bahamas. Yeah, Nota?
So excited to be down here for the Hero World Challenge in support of the Tiger Woods Foundation, and looking forward to a great event, albeit without Tiger, but just spoke to him a moment ago, and he's going to be down here for the week, sort of trying to be the best host in golf, as you would expect for someone that is bringing such a great field together for this end-of-the-year event.
No question. What a great host he has been in the past at his events and will continue to be, I'm sure, moving forward. More about Tiger in a second. First, Jordan Spieth. It's title defense time at the Hero World Challenge for him. That's going to start a little bit later on in the week. Now, Spieth is paired with the first Indian-born player to compete in the event ever. That's Anubhav Lahiri. I hope I'm saying that right. Tournament is also comprised, just so people know, of 18 different players, ranging from the world number one, that's Spieth, to number 43, that's Bill Haas. But if you're Jordan Spieth and you're coming off the season that you just finished, how do you approach the coming season? I mean, you just completed one of those most amazing seasons in golf history. Where do you set the bar? I mean, is it all four majors, Nota?
Well, most players break down the season into segments, and just like any other sport, there's the first part where you're just trying to build. But I think everybody would agree that the Masters has probably circled. If you're fully exempt, if you're a major championship winner, and you expect to go out and compete for majors, the first full week in April has always got a big highlighted circle around it, and that's when you want to peak. So these preliminary events to end the year are used to sort of sharpen the game, get some exposure, support sponsorships or partners and things like that. And Jordan's done a wonderful job of that. He's become a real great ambassador for golf, and he's traveling around the world, just competed last week in Australia and nearly won that golf tournament in the Australian Open, and he was defending champ down there. He's coming here to defend. So I got to give him a lot of credit in a time where he could be taking some time off and resting after that great run that he had this past year. He's still out there putting that young body to use.
As he should, too, as a matter of fact, because he, and you're a hot commodity like he is, he needs to get out there. The fans want to see him. The public do. Now, a guy that the fans always want to see, Tiger Woods, his foundation is the primary benefactor of this event, the Hero World Challenge. However, he's not going to be competing. We know that because he, in the press conference yesterday, told us about the second back surgery, which he said even kind of took him by surprise, and said in his statement yesterday, among other things, no timetable for his return. Note, you know Tiger as well as anybody. You said you spoke to him not long ago, just a few minutes ago. Do you expect Tiger to play at all in 2016? What should golf fans expect, that he's going to take a really long chunk of time off this time to try and really get healthy?
You know, in the conversations we've had over the last 2 weeks, there literally is no certainty, and that was one of the most surprising things. And you've never heard an athlete get criticized for coming back too late. You always see athletes getting criticized. Well, this guy came back too early. He should have given it a few more weeks. But you never hear announcers or the media talk about an athlete that has come back too late and he's way too healthy. And I think that that's interesting, because most athletes have a competitive instinct, whether they're driven by schedule. So in the NFL, there's only 16 games, so players need to get back in a short time frame. But golf's not like that. I mean, our window to play at the professional level, Tiger played his first professional event at the age of 16, and he'll probably play his last professional event near his 50s. So the window to play at the professional level in golf is so wide that I think it's smart for him to sort of have, as he turns 40 later this month, to give it a little extra time, and just to make extra sure that his mobility, his strength, and more importantly, when athletes are overcoming injuries, especially in golf, whether they're wrist, neck, and especially back, you have to make a few swings in a compromising position and get through those swings and come out of those rounds with your body feeling somewhat in a good spot. We saw him, he made a compromising swing where his body was kind of torqued and tweaked in uncomfortable position at the Bridgestone Invitational a couple years ago, and he walked off the golf course a couple holes later. So if you can't get through those times and build confidence that your rehab and your strength conditioning is where it needs to be so your body can perform, then it's difficult to make that final transition to performing at a high level.
Golf is a very, very difficult game, and to play it at a high level, even more difficult. Add physical problems to that, it becomes practically impossible, and you had a back problem, a serious back problem, one that needs multiple surgeries. You know, that's not the best combination for a great golf swing. Now, I know this is looking way, way down the line here, Nota, but what about later on in life? I know that the back issue is something that is serious enough it could end somebody's career. Is there still the possibility that if he heals properly, that he could return to competitive golf? I mean, is this somebody that there's a chance we could see him playing later on in life, perhaps, if he does have to take a couple of years off? Are we talking about this being serious enough that we might not ever see Tiger Woods play competitive golf again?
Well, a couple things on that. Number one, don't write this guy off. I mean, he proved toward the end of last year he was playing some of the best golf of the year, not the best golf of his career, but he had his only top 10 of the season the last time he teed it up and had a legitimate chance to win the golf tournament headed into the back nine on Sunday. So that's probably one of the most disappointing things Tiger feels right now, is that it was sort of trending. Things were moving in the right direction, but started to experience some discomfort, and anybody that's ever had a back injury, a little bit of shooting pain in certain extremities, and you just can't play 15 to 20 events a year when you're dealing with that kind of discomfort, because number one, your body doesn't function the way it should, and number two, it's just a dang distraction. I mean, you're over the ball and you're wondering whether or not the shooting pain's going to come back. So he chose to eliminate any of those issues, and the window of time to come back, to his credit, is very uncertain. I just encourage him to stick with that and come back when he's ready, so that I do think he can attain a high level of performance. I don't know that he will dominate like he once did, and I don't think anybody should expect him to, but I still think he can win majors. But the first step is health, win the regular PGA Tour event, and then contend in the majors.
Yeah, because every golf fan wants to see him back on the golf course again, and I think we all feel that way. Jason Day announced earlier this week that he is withdrawn from next week's Franklin Templeton Shootout. He's going to spend time with the family. His wife has given birth to their second child. Now, Jason was going to play in the Hero World Challenge as well as the other Franklin Templeton Shootout, where he's the defending champ. But this is another guy who's had a great season in 2015. I know that he wants to elevate his game, but we also saw him experience some physical problems as well, like vertigo on the course. Will the physical problems that he's been experiencing be a problem for Jason going forward?
I think he's got that figured out. I think they got to the bottom of things. I know that's something he's been addressing over the last year and a half. And vertigo is a very difficult thing to sort of get your arms around. But based on his ability to sort of overcome and finish out the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay after sort of falling to his knees during the round, it is a testament to his fortitude and his willingness to just sort of not mail it in. And I don't know how much better this guy can get. I mean, he's got tremendous talent, and he's really probably the most consistent of the top three players if you were to consider them Roy McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and Jason Day. Jason Day probably has the most complete game of the three players, so I think he has the ability to maintain that number one world ranking for quite some time based on his ability to be consistent. But Jordan Spieth is definitely proving that he's not gonna go down without a fight. I mean, this guy is just putting up some numbers, and no matter where he goes, he's able to put himself into contention and not with his best stuff. He didn't have his best game last week, but just came within a shot of getting into a playoff.
from Golf Channel. Nota Begay is our guest. He's down in the Bahamas for the Hero World Challenge, which you're going to be able to see coming up this weekend. But I wanted to bring a little bit of perspective into the conversation, if I could, Nota, because, you know, a lot of weekend warriors, you know, people who play out of the muni courses like I do, you see all kinds of crazy stuff out there. We call it the hard hat area sometimes, and every once in a while you see somebody throw a club. It's rare to see somebody throw one on television, but viewers who are tuned into the WGC Cadillac Championship last year saw the best golfer in the world at the time, Rory McIlroy, chuck one into the lake. I tell you what, we found out just how expensive that is when Rory got on television not long ago to say that actually his fine was reduced quite a significant amount just for apologizing on television, right?
It was, and I got to give him credit. That was a world-class throw. I mean, it wasn't a flippant kind of like, hey, I'm just going to kind of toss this in the water. Like, he reared back, he loaded his right side very nicely and got everything in, and got some nice distance and some end-over-end action on that throw. And you don't see that. It's mostly when players throw clubs, it's just kind of a quick reaction, but this was premeditated.
It sure was.
I mean, it's great. I mean, these guys are they're trying to win. They're trying to win. And if you look at the number of world-class athletes that come from other sports that try to play our game, the Michael Jordans, the Jerry Rice, these guys have A number one body control. They know they have great hand-eye coordination, and they can't play great golf. That's how hard this game is. And so when these guys are out there trying to win golf tournaments and trying to maintain their status in the world rankings, and it gets the best of everybody. And I wish more players, maybe not would throw clubs, but would just be a little bit more outward with their emotion, because I know it would feel better, and it's great, I think, for the average golfer to see that, because they feel that. Every single one of us that plays, including myself now, because I'm not that good anymore, I feel like throwing an occasional club, and once in a while I do.
You know what? Saying sorry always helps, though, because originally that fine was $25,000. Saying that you're sorry knocked it down to $5,000. Nota, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much. Enjoy your time down in the Bahamas. We'll be tuned in and watching the Hero World Challenge this weekend. Thanks for being with us again on NBC.
You got it. Have a good one.
He loaded up his right side and really delivered a good throw. I love that. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap things up for Speaking of Sports with a comment from Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealers. Pete Fox and I will discuss that next on NBC Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio's mobile app. NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. This is Speaking of Sports. I'm Jim Daniels. Glad you're there. Appreciate you giving us a listen. Pete Fox is in the update studio this morning. I always like to bring Pete in for at least part of the Speaking of Sports program. And before I get to your comment, I'm going to play a comment from Mary Kay Cabot. We speak to Mary Kay every once in a while. Whether there's something going on in the Cleveland Browns world, we want to talk to Mary Kay. Spoke to her actually earlier in the program and asked the question, what's more important, holding Johnny Manziel's feet to the fire of discipline or finding out what you have at quarterback?
Well, I do think that it's important to see Johnny Manziel more this season, but there are 5 games left. And, you know, I do think that there's a chance that they could, you know, kind of keep him where he's at, maintain the status quo for maybe a couple more games, and then see what you have in the last 3 games of the season. I think that's what I would be inclined to do, because here's the deal with Johnny Manziel. He's very rarely held accountable for his actions to the point where it really means something to him. Sitting out one game is probably not going to get his attention, but having to sit out this next start when they would have an opportunity to, you know, to throw him in there in front of the hometown fans, you know, maybe that would get his attention and change things up a little bit.
Pete Fox, what do you think about that? Is that the right thing to do, or should Johnny be on the field today?
Well, it's both, honestly. He should be on the field, but she's right, though. One game doesn't really mean that much. The problem I have really is I don't know that you can tell a lot from 3 games. 5 would be a much larger sample size, but he does need to be held accountable and realize that you know, he needs to try and grow up a little bit. And I know he's only 22 and all. We talked about it last week. But ultimately, he is a professional athlete making a lot of money, and he needs to grow up. And hopefully, two games might make him realize that and understand that and try and be more of a professional. Not necessarily, it's not all about being an adult. I would just say try and be professional, Johnny. You're making a lot of money in a very unique situation, and try and live up to the expectations to some degree.
That's putting the fine point on it, really, is act like a professional. And you know what? Because you're paying him a lot of money to act like a professional, this is why I disagree with the idea of you've got to send more of a message. It's like, look, there's five games left. We're going to put you in here and see what you've got. If you want to screw around and mess this up and not show up at practice and be late, then that's on you. But I think that he should be on the field because, I mean, you know, Austin is not the future of this club on any level. Thank you,
yep.
Pete Fox.
Yep.
Appreciate that. All right, that's going to do it for Speaking of Sports. Back at you next weekend, same time, same channel. Hope you'll be there. Up next, Coop It Up. It's NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com.